Very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, January 10th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, this year's school year is said to be one of the hardest due to the current economic challenges facing the country, and most parents are calling on the government to force schools to reduce fees or institute credit terms as the cash crunch bites. Schools are set to open on Tuesday. The Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform, a pressure group led by Bishop Anselmo Magaya, will launch a national crisis committee next week to address some of the issues facing the country.
Next week, our technical team is going to meet to have a strategic plan, after which we will convene all principals of the institutions that were invited, and then that would constitute the national crisis committee. Which, in effect, will be the body that will be responsible for policy direction.
The Harare City Council secures financing to renovate the Matapi flats in order to upgrade the living standards of those living in one of the oldest apartment blocks in Mbare.
Right now, we've been doing the Chinese guys to go and build in Mbare, build the new houses, renovate the existing flats, make it proper operating facilities with everything that they have to do. So, if of course, the Chinese guys who are going to do it.
And we look at the issue of the $100 spot fines for motorists caught breaking road rules, which comes under the spotlight as many motorists question its legality. And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. This year's school year is said to be one of the hardest due to the current economic challenges facing the country, and most parents are calling on the government to force schools to reduce school fees or institute credit terms as the cash crunch bites. Schools are set to open on Tuesday this week. The Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform, a pressure group led by Bishop Anselmo Magaya, will launch a national crisis committee next week to address some of the issues facing the country. Magaya tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri the platform, which was formed last year and encompasses some non-profit organization, churches, political parties and ordinary Zimbabweans, is now set to get the ball rolling.
You will note that this launch took place at a time when people were about to break for holidays, and what then it means is that there was nothing more we could do morning after, you know, the launch. But now that people are going back to work, and by next week Monday, every company that is supposed to be opening should actually have opened on Monday. So what we are now going to be doing is to begin to roll out programs to make sure that we have a nationwide campaign and awareness on what ZINAP is all about, namely to rally Zimbabweans around issues that are bedeviling our nation. So next week, our technical team is going to meet to have a strategic plan, after which we will convene all principals of the institutions that were invited, and then that would constitute the National Crisis Committee, which, in effect, will be the body that will be responsible for policy direction.
Some people view this Zimbabwe National Agreement platform as a political agenda. May you demystify this myth or clarify?
Number one, it is not possible to deal with any matter in Zimbabwe that concerns the bread and butter issue without linking it to the politics of the nation, because the moment that we begin to talk about lack of money and lack of jobs, that is a political matter, because it is because somebody in power is failing to make an environment conducive. Right. However, it should be noted that the Zimbabwe National Agreement platform is a platform for all. Political parties are a cluster and they are just part of a bigger picture, and their contribution is really on governance, culture, and the national electoral reforms. We also have women and youth. We have the disability cluster. We have civil society on transitional mechanisms. It's very, very broad, but obviously there's no way that we can ever isolate these things from the political arena.
What's the long-term projection for this program?
We are wanting to roll out the programs and to set up, as I said, National Crisis Committee, and then we're going to set up working groups, subcommittees that looks at different areas, which will then help us to identify areas of advocacy. And we then will go in various locations, localities, to spread this vision so that probably come year-end, everybody will be conversant with these issues, and they will know how to respond to challenges that will be happening in various communities.
That was Bishop Anselmo Magaya of the Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri in Harare. The Harare City Council says it has secured financing to renovate the Matapi flats in order to upgrade the living standards of those living in one of the oldest apartment blocks in Bare. The apartment blocks gives housing to many families who often live in large numbers under squalid conditions, as the infrastructure at the housing complex is continually breaking down. We hear from Councillor for Ward 12 in Harare on the issue.
My name is Councillor Peter Moyo from South Aton. That is Ward 18, and I wish everybody a prosperous 2016. We know things are tight, things are not okay, companies are closing, but I'm urging my residents to bear with me so that maybe we can try to put some solar lights and also some tower lights. We are aware in Rugare, we don't have tower lights, but we are even advanced stage. Your councillor is trying to work flat out to make sure that we have those tower lights by end of this year, and probably one clinic, which we negotiated with the NRZ, is at an advanced stage also, so that we give a clinic to our residents. So they must pay their rent. Whatever small amount they have, it will go a long way in making sure that we give them the services that they require. As the city of Harare, we want to make sure that the Mbare Matapi Hostel gives the difference to the people who stay there. We want to renovate. As you are aware, in our previous council, we had engaged the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to come and renovate Matapi flat. But unfortunately, the people who were on the ground by that time could not understand where we were coming from, because our desire is to see people living in decent housing. Right now, the situation there in Bari is so appalling. So we have taken it upon ourselves this time. We have engaged everybody, we have engaged the ministry to make sure that when this project is done, there's no disruption again like what happened previously.
What kind of mechanism are you going to put in place to make sure that while you're doing the renovations, people have adequate accommodation?
What we are going to do now is that we are going to put temporary shelters for the people with the ablution facilities, so that when we renovate those flats, people will be in those temporary shelters. When we finish to renovate the flats, then they go back to those flats. But this time around, what we are going to do, when four or three families are supposed to be in that flat, we will do just like that. We are not going to overcrowd them like what is the situation which is obtaining right now. And then we are going to use those open spaces to again build houses, proper flats, so everybody in Mbare is going to be accommodated. By the time we are doing it, another project will give them a way to stay. They will be staying in Mbare, but it will be just for temporary. When we finish, then they will go into their flat.
You have just said that the council had approached the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to help in the renovation previously, but that fell through. Have you sourced another donor or sponsor? What's happening now? Where are you getting the budget?
After the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation failed to do the renovations, they went to Dwarasekwa, who they did a very tremendous job. They did a good job in Dwarasekwa. But right now, we've engaged the Chinese guys to go and build the new houses, renovate the existing flats with the proper ablution facilities, with everything that they're trying to secure. So we've approached the Chinese guys who are going to do it.
And what is the timeline? When are you expecting to start this project?
I mean, we wanted to do it as quickly as possible, but unfortunately, you know, the council has got its own procedure. He has just approved the idea for renovating the new house in Bari. So the urban planning guys, once they are done with their plans, people will see where we start from. But we wanted it to be as quickly as possible. Some of the obstacles that are faced by people who come to the urban planning is the bureaucratic processes. We are going to circumvent them and try to shorten it so that we give the people
That was Peter Moyo, the councillor for Ward 12 in Harare. The issue of the $100 spot fine for motorists caught breaking road rules has come under the spotlight as many motorists argue its legality. We turn to Harare West legislator Jesse Majome for her interpretation of the issue.
The fact of the matter is good news. It is that no fines were raised to $100 for traffic offences. That did not happen. The minister wanted to propose that, but it wasn't passed. It wasn't accepted by Parliament. In Parliament, he faced resistance, very heavy resistance from members of Parliament. That reminded him that what he was proposing to do was not only unlawful, but just really unacceptable. So he ended up conceding to the arguments by members of Parliament to the effect that if he wanted to change this and have the minimum fine to be $100, we actually needed to amend the Criminal Procedure and Evidence Act so that it raises the minimum level of fine that you can pay without going to court from $20 to $100. So what it means that in terms of the Criminal Law and Codification Act in Section 280, with its first schedule, it says that the maximum fine that one can be ordered to pay by the police is what is called the level 3 fine. It is $20. It can't go beyond that. Anything beyond $20, a court can sentence. The budget process is a process to amend the Finance Act. The budget process does not amend any other acts of Parliament. It would be unlawful for it to do so. Curiously, there's still the Criminal Codification Evidence and Amendment Procedure and Evidence Act is also still before Parliament. Remember, there were amendments to try and accord to the Constitution. So, but those things are happening separately. So the long and short of it is, spot fines were not raised to $100, whether for going through a red robot or driving without a license, or I think the third thing, that did not happen. The minister, the lawyer that he is, had the good sense to admit the correct position in that of the need to amend the Criminal Procedure and Evidence Act. And he actually did indicate that it was also excessive and that there was need for a proper legal mechanism to do it, and that the Attorney General would actually go and consult the Attorney General to see how they can propose to make the changes in the lawful way. So the maximum fine that a person can still pay as a resort fine is $20. That's the maximum, that's the highest level.
That was Harare West legislator Jesse Majome in Harare. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Mishek Gondo, Director of the National Association of Youth Organizations. Mishek, thank you so very much for joining me today and a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Katenda, and compliments of the new season.
Let's talk about that. The new season here, we see ourselves in 2016. As someone working with various youth organizations under your umbrella of National Association of Youth Organizations, what do you think that young Zimbabweans are particularly looking forward to in this new year?
Thank you very much, Katenda. Young people in Zimbabwe, currently, I can state that the desperate generation whereby things are increasingly being difficult. But as young people, we are still hopeful. And also coming, like that you mentioned, coming from an umbrella board. And also my institution, as you might say, that is also the chairperson of NANGO, which is the umbrella board also of organization in Zimbabwe. There's quite a lot that we need to introspect on in terms of continuing to capacitate the young people to be able to respond. Various things. Capacitation can come in terms of supporting them in their business skills, capacitation and mobilization, capacitation and engagement.
And looking at these programs, Mishek, would you say that they are really touching the grassroots level, the young people, you know, in the rural areas where some would say they're the most hardest hit?
Definitely. If you are talking of mobilization, we need to look at the grassroots level. And right now, it's quite okay because we are following what is called the Sunny Principle, whereby the development has to come from the from the grassroots. Even our development partners themselves, they've introspected from before, whereby they were just doing the Capital City program. And if you are talking of redevelopment and sustainable development, we need to include the young people at the grassroots. Yes, we understand that there are structural issues in terms of their reach, but this is one of the things that we need to introspect in 2016, that if we are talking of programs that benefit the young people, who are the real beneficiaries? We are talking of young people in rural areas. We are talking of young people in farms. We are talking young people in urban areas, in high-density suburbs, in low-density suburbs. Everyone should be included.
So we saw things in 2015 where some would say they remained very stagnant. Do you see the same thing happening in 2016, looking in particular at the issue of the economy and the political situation in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, the political economy and the political situation in Zimbabwe is increasingly deteriorating. Also, taking this from a knowledgeable point of view, because as an institution, we are currently doing an enabling environment study whereby we're doing interviews with various institutions, government institutions, about the state of environment in Zimbabwe. And the things are bad. You can see even young people from even civil servants and other people demonstrating, and they according to the constitution, and they receive the hostile approach from the government. And in terms of even the general welfare of the public, things are not well. But we are hoping that the government will come to its senses and engage everyone and actually try to make sure that everyone is involved in the building of the economy, so that our economy can come back to its feet again.
And moving forward here, the question of engagement by young people, we saw, you know, some young people last year focusing on the question of engagement on different levels. But how can the grassroots level really, really start this engagement and get young people involved into what's going on in the country?
The best approach to engage young people is to just to facilitate them to be able to issue their concerns. Problem is when you want to develop young people at the grassroots to go there with the program, you need to visit the young people at the grassroots and hear their concerns. Just assist them in making policy pointers whereby they are saying, well, some young people, they've got different issues that are facing them. To go to the young people in Mutare, they've got different concerns. If you go to young people in Dinga, they've got different concerns. Maybe they are not going to school, but they are what we call national concerns. For example, unemployment, that is national. But when you want to engage young people, that's why we need some of the tools called the open space technology, whether you involve the village, you involve their parents, and they plan to say, we own this program, what can we do to make sure that we participate? And also, you start to capacitate them so that they can feed into national processes.
And Mishek, I want to say thank you there for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much.
That was Mishek Gondo, Director of the National Association of Youth Organizations, and joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo. Now to recap on today's top stories. The Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform, a pressure group led by Bishop Anselmo Magaya, will launch a national crisis committee next week to address some of the issues facing the country. And the Harare City Council secures financing to renovate the Matapi flats in order to upgrade the living standards of those living in one of the oldest apartment blocks in Mbare. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, January 10th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.